The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, after being stuck in sports purgatory for the last month, today's show, we're going to be discussing every sport today. So that's fucking great. I'm super excited about that because, you know, it's when you're in sports purgatory, it's pretty much a struggle to try and find anything to discuss. So luckily we're out of that. And so, let's get to it. Let's first, I do want to mention in my fantasy basketball league, Laker Dynasty, I do want to give a shout out to all the teams that made the postseason because the playoffs did begin today. Unlike the six teams that did end up making the playoffs, I was not one of them. I am currently reigning the consolation bracket, so congratulations to me. Shout out to all the six teams that made it in my my basketball league. And we'll see who comes out on top. But it's a crazy league. Usually all my fantasy leagues that I run are very close. And it's very competitive. And what I mean by close is that we're usually within like a game, a half a game of each other. I mean, like in my basketball league, for example, like everybody was in it until the end. Even me and the other four teams that did not make the lead or the postseason, we all were in it until the end. It's just that it really just depended on how your injuries went. And unfortunately for me, I have LeBron James, who's been injured on and off all season. I have Ja Morant, who's decided he wants to just flash his guns everywhere and is suspended. And has been suspended for a minute. And then I also had Zion Williamson, and you know, he's been out for a minute. So yeah, my team's been injured on and off, and it really just killed me. But I mean, hey, that's fantasy sports. But congrats to all the six teams that made the postseason, and looking forward to seeing who is the champion this year. All right, so let's get into March Madness. We've already had a couple of upsets in day one. I will say my bracket isn't too terrible. As a matter of fact, three of the four teams that I picked for the Final Four yesterday played yesterday, and they all won. So my Final Four is still intact. A period stain has not taken out my bracket yet. Now, it was just day one, so who knows what's going to happen today. But we did have a couple of crazy upsets, so let's get into it. The first upset was Furman. Number 13 Furman beat number 4 Virginia, so that was a pretty surprising upset. But probably the biggest upset of the day was number 15 Princeton taking down Arizona. Nobody expected that. As a matter of fact, a lot of people had Arizona winning the championship or going to the Final Four or making the championship. A lot of people were riding high on Arizona, and they did not do well yesterday. As a matter of fact, Princeton played pretty well. I mean, Arizona had the lead the majority of the way, but Princeton just started to pull away in the second half, and they held on and got that win. Also, my Texas Longhorns have moved on to the next round. So hook 'em horns, motherfucker, hook 'em horns, hook 'em horns, hook 'em horns, motherfucker, hook 'em horns. Yeah, and they will be moving on to play Penn State tomorrow in the round of 32. So pretty excited about that. They played well last night, so they're looking pretty solid. So bring on Penn State. You know, we've got a bunch of matchups today. I think one game is about to end or just ended right before I started recording. I do have the games on right now, but I'm not really paying attention to them. The current round of 32 matchups that will be played tomorrow, we have Alabama at Maryland. Those were both teams that I picked to move on. I have Alabama moving on in that matchup. Then San Diego State versus Furman. I have San Diego State moving on in that one. I did have Virginia over Furman, but of course I was wrong on that. Then the other round of 32 is Missouri versus Princeton. I did not have either of those teams in my round of 32. And then we also have Houston versus Auburn. I picked both of those teams as well. I have Houston moving on in that matchup. Then Penn State versus Texas. I picked both of those teams for the round of 32. And I have, of course, my Longhorns moving on in that matchup. Then we also have Kansas versus Arkansas. I picked both of those teams to move on to the round of 32. And I have Kansas moving on tomorrow. And then the last matchup for the round of 32 tomorrow is going to be Northwestern versus UCLA. And I picked both of those teams to move on to the round of 32. And I have UCLA beating Northwestern. So we'll see where we're at on Monday, how my bracket is. But currently, my bracket is still looking pretty decent. My Final Four, like I said, is still intact. My Final Four, if you did not listen to the last show, I have San Diego State, Marquette, Texas, and UCLA as my Final Four. My championship is Marquette versus Texas, and my national champion is my Texas Longhorns. So hook 'em horns, motherfucker. They've moved on to the round of 32, and we'll see what happens against Penn State tomorrow. All right, and now since we are closing in on the NBA playoffs, we are about 1 month away from the NBA playoffs. Every Friday, I'm going to start just basically giving a recap of where we're at with all the current standings and how the playoffs would lie if they were to start today. So let's start off in the Western Conference, since I am a Lakers fan, got to start off in the West. Right now, the Denver Nuggets would be the number one overall seed at 47-23. The Sacramento Kings would be the number two seed at 42-27. The Memphis Grizzlies would be the number three seed at 41-27. The Phoenix Suns would be the number four seed at 38-32. The LA Clippers would be the number five seed at 37-33. And then the Golden State Warriors would be the number six seed at 36-34. And then on the play-in tournament side, the number seven seed would be the Minnesota Timberwolves at 35-35. And the number eight seed would be the Dallas Mavericks at 35-35. And then the number nine seed would be my shitty-ass Lakers at 34-36. And the number 10 seed at the Oklahoma City Thunder at 34-36. And then turning to the Eastern Conference, the number one seed right now would be the Milwaukee Bucks at 50-20. Number two seed would be the Boston Celtics at 48-22. Number three seed would be the Philadelphia 76ers at 46-22. Number four seed would be the Cleveland Cavaliers at 44-28. Number five seed would be the New York Knicks at 41-30. Number six seed would be the Brooklyn Nets at 39-31. And so those would be all the playoff teams. And then the play-in tournament side would be the number seven seed, the Miami Heat at 38-33. The number eight seed would be the Atlanta Hawks at 34-35. Number nine seed would be the Toronto Raptors at 34-36. And rounding out the Eastern Conference would be the number 10 seed, the Washington Wizards at 32-37. So that's how we're looking right now with the playoff picture. Like I said, we have a month until it begins. April 11th is when the play-in starts, and then the actual playoffs begin April 15th. So like I said, we do have a month. We are a month away. I don't really expect too much of a shakeup here. I mean, as far as teams going in or out, I don't really see much of a shakeup there. It just would probably be the seeding would be the only shakeup. But that's the way the NBA playoffs are looking right now. A couple of newsworthy notes in the NBA this week. Ja Morant has officially been suspended for 8 games by the NBA. So it looks like he's going to miss the majority of what's left of this season. Lucky for him, he's going to be back at least in time for the playoffs, or at least he should be. Because you never know what's going to happen with this. He was at first, he wasn't technically suspended, I guess, from the Memphis Grizzlies, but he was taking a leave of absence or whatever. And he's been out the last couple of weeks, and then now the NBA officially suspended him for the 8 games. So We'll see where we're at come playoff time, but I think the Memphis Grizzlies are probably fucked at this current point in time. Then also, Lonzo Ball has not played at all this season. He missed the end of last season with a knee injury. Then he had a couple of knee surgeries in this offseason, so he missed this entire season. And it's looking like he's having another surgery, and he's going to miss all of next season. So Lonzo Ball, you know, when he's not injured, he's actually a very good player. I wouldn't say he's one of the best in the league, but he's very solid. He's very reliable. In every team he's played for so far, he's made an impact on. But unfortunately, he's had the knee issues basically since the beginning of his career, and now they're really starting to get to him. And now this is, I believe, his third or fourth surgery on the knee, which is never good. And like I said, he missed, I think, the majority of the second half of last season. He missed all of this season, and it's looking like he's going to miss all of next season. That's 2.5 years. I don't know if this guy's going to be able to make it back, and if he is, what kind of a player is he going to be? So we'll see there. And then the last bit of NBA news, which is kind of surprising, is Michael Jordan is looking into selling his portion of the Charlotte Hornets. So, you know, he's owned the team for a few years now. I want to say he's owned it for at least, like, I know he's owned it for at least over 10 years, I want to say, but it's probably more close to like 15-ish years. But I mean, he has not been able to turn this organization around. They've been a laughing stock basically from the jump, and they still are a laughing stock now. They have yet to be a legit competitive contender under Michael Jordan's ownership, and that probably pisses him off because, you know, he's been a winner his entire life. So I don't know, but looking like Michael Jordan may no longer own an NBA franchise. All right, so let's move on to the UFC. We've got a big UFC matchup this week, UFC 286. It's going to be in London, so it's going to be actually an early start this week, but the big championship fight, part three, between Leon Edwards, who's got a 20-3 record, and Kamaru Usman, 20-2 record. Like I said, this is part two. In part one, neither one of them were really known. They weren't who they are today in the UFC, but Usman won that matchup. And then in part two, Leon Edwards won that matchup. He got this beautiful knockout, kick to the head on Kamaru Usman, which just knocked him the fuck out in the fifth round. And it was a good thing for him because Usman owned part two. Like, round one, Leon Edwards came out, looked really solid, looked like he was going to put up a fight. But then Usman dominated round two, round three, round four, and round five as well, up until he got kicked in the head. It was basically just a beautiful shot by Leon Edwards. It's really why I love fighting. I love watching UFC and boxing because there are so many fights you watch where one fighter is just getting the shit kicked out of them. And if it comes down to the judges, this fighter is obviously going to lose. And that's what happened in this last fight. Leon Edwards was outmatched from basically the jump. Usman owned him the entire time except for round one. And then Edwards just got in, like I said, he got in that beautiful kick, knocked him out, and boom, that was it. And that's just what I love about fighting, because Edwards was completely out of it, but he knew, if I just get that one hit in, that's what he did, got the win, and he's the champion. So now Usman, he's got to get that belt back. That did end a 19 win fight streak for Usman. He hadn't lost in 9 freaking years. I think the only time he lost before that was like his second or third fight ever, which was a submission. So that was actually his first knockout he had ever received as well from Edwards. So it was an excellent fight. And like I said, Usman just owned his ass, but Edwards was like, nah, let me kick you in the head and knock your ass out. And that's what he did. Now, Usman is favored in this weekend's matchup, as he should be, because I do think that probably humbled Usman a bit. Because I will say, One of the things that was annoying about part two is that Usman was trying to showboat a lot from the jump. And I don't like showboaters. I've never really cared much for showboaters. I mean, do what you want, but it's kind of funny that he was showboating and then he got knocked the fuck out. So that's what'll happen. So I kind of feel like he got humbled a little bit, but I do think he's going to get his belt back in this matchup. I think he's going to return the favor and he's going to knock out Edwards in this one. I say maybe he knocks him out in about round three. Because really, if you watch part two, Edwards, once round one was over, he looked pretty much winded throughout the rest of the fight. That's why I say he was getting just dominated until he knocked out Usman. So I do think Usman's going to get the better of him in this one, and I do think it's going to be a knockout. And I think Usman will be the champion yet again. But regardless, it's going to be a good fight. And like I said, it's going to be an early start because it is in London this week. Yeah, we did have a little bit of NFL news this week as well, beginning with the Las Vegas Raiders made another weird move in this offseason. They ended up trading their star tight end, Darren Waller, to the New York Giants. So congratulations to the Giants. That's a great pickup for them because he's been solid for the Raiders. But that was a dumbass move for the Raiders, in my opinion. He's a great weapon, and I don't know what they were thinking with that move, but good on the Giants on picking up a good player. Then also, the Indianapolis Colts ended up trading cornerback Stephon Gilmore to my Dallas Cowboys, and I fucking love this move. Cowboys needed to work on their secondary. That was one of their offseason moves I felt they needed to make. And picking up Stephon Gilmore is beautiful because he and Diggs are going to be ball hawks. Because Gilmore is a ball hawk, but he's great in coverage. He's been one of the top defenders in the league basically since he was drafted. So I really like this move, and I just think he only improves the Dallas defense and makes them a much better team on the defensive side of the ball. And then another move that the Cowboys made this week is they ended up releasing Zeke for they just ended up releasing him. He's been with the Cowboys for they drafted him years ago. And his contract is too big at this point in time. And he's not really worth the contract anymore. He isn't as effective as he used to be. I really just want to say thanks to Zeke for all he did. He was a great Cowboy. I really enjoyed his career. And he was great in the passing game. He was a great blocker. And in his heyday, he was definitely just a great runner and had some great plays. And I just want to say I really thank him and I enjoyed his career. And it's too bad we were never able to win a Super Bowl with him at running back. But he definitely did his part. And even last year, even the last couple of years, he's been falling off the face of the earth. He's not what he used to be. And but he still showed up and he still was a piece. He's been great in the as basically an offensive lineman in the passing game as a blocker, and that's pretty much been his role the last couple of years. You know, he's been able to get the goal line touchdowns in it, so he really hasn't been what he used to be. And obviously, we're moving to Tony Pollard as our feature back, at least for this upcoming season. But Cowboys ended up releasing Zeke, and we'll see what happens for him. I don't know how many suitors are going to be coming his way. He's probably just going to end up being a journeyman running back until he eventually retires in the next couple of years. But I definitely enjoyed his career, and I really thank him for the great memories he provided me as a Cowboys fan. And then the last bit of NFL news, it still has not happened today, but it has been confirmed by Aaron Rodgers himself that the Packers and the Jets are currently working on a trade deal to get Aaron Rodgers from Green Bay to the New York Jets. He confirmed it a couple days ago on the Pat McAfee show that right now it's really just a matter of the Packers and Jets just working out the semantics on the contracts, on the contract shit and the money issues and all that stuff. But basically, it's looking like Aaron Rodgers is moving over to the AFC and will be a New York Jet. Has not happened yet. I really can't wait till it happens because I'm pretty much sick to death of hearing about it every fucking day. But that's really been the theme of the NFL offseason for the past like 3 years is what's going on with the Aaron Rodgers drama. It always drags the fuck out because he is a drama queen and, you know, he loves all the fucking attention on him. And so it's in true Aaron Rodgers fashion that this trade gets dragged out longer than it needs to get dragged out. But it's looking like any day now, Aaron Rodgers should be a New York Jet for the upcoming season. And speaking of upcoming seasons, baseball season is right around the corner. And with that being said, it is now time for me to begin making my season predictions for the 2023 baseball season. You know, we do have a couple of changes with the rules. We do have the pitch clock now, which has been kind of a bitch clock, but we'll see how that goes. The bases are a little bit bigger, so we'll see what kind of effect that has on the season. And then also, no more shifting in certain plays. If you're a baseball, like if you're a diehard baseball fan, you know what I just said. If you're not, then you might want to learn some baseball because that's on you. But anyways, let's get to the season predictions because you know what? Baseball begins in about 2 weeks here. I actually have my first couple of fantasy baseball drafts this weekend, so I'm pretty fucking excited about that. So let's get to my season predictions on what I think is going to happen today with the NL and AL West teams. Since I am a San Francisco Giants fan, that's why I wanted to start here because I'm a Giants fan and I can fucking do that. So let's start off with the NL West and the team that I believe is going to win the NL West. Now, I don't believe that's going to be the San Francisco Giants, unfortunately. No changes here. The goddamn stupid Los Angeles Dodgers. That's who I, of course, think is going to win the division this year and be one of the best teams in the National League as usual because there weren't really any major changes to their roster this year. Sure, they did lose a couple of guys out there like Trey Turner. They probably could have used a guy like him. But overall, this team still remains the same. They still have Freddie Freeman. They still have Mookie Betts. They still have their stellar starting pitching with Urias and Gonsolin and Kershaw's back for another year. So overall, I expect the Dodgers to be the Dodgers, a good competitive fucking team. I'd say their biggest issue that you might want to look out for this season would be the closer position. Their bullpen is very solid, but the closer position is still, I think, up in the air. So we'll see what happens there. But I feel like that would be their one and only weakness. Overall, the Dodgers are still the cream of the crop. And unfortunately, I still think they're going to win the division this year. The team I think that will come in second place, and I almost picked to win the division, but I just don't believe in them just yet. But I would not be shocked if they win the division. That's the San Diego Padres, because this team has been making big moves since last year. You know, they traded for Juan Soto last year. They traded for Josh Hader last year. They signed Manny Machado to a contract extension this offseason. And then they made an even bigger move in signing probably one of the top five free agents for sure in Xander Bogaerts. And then they're also going to get, shortstop who missed all of last year. Forget his name. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Shortstop was suspended last year for steroids. Missed the beginning of the season because he broke his wrist on a motorcycle or some shit like that. But regardless, it's going to come to me at some point. But anyways, Tatis, Fernando Tatis. That's the motherfucker's name. But this team is stacked. And they also, they added Xander Bogaerts. So they've got, they're going to be scoring a lot, but they're also really solid with their starting pitching with Yu Darvish, who has really had a resurgence since he signed with them. And then you've got Joe Musgrove, who he's one of the best pitchers in the league as well. Hader did not really play well once he got traded to the Padres last year, but I don't think you can count him out just yet. So we'll see if he ends up being the closer he used to be. The Padres should be a damn good team. The only reason why I can't pick them over the Dodgers is just because the Padres are the Padres. And until they prove they can actually win and they're worth picking, I can't pick them. But they are a damn good team. They've got a really stacked roster. I'd say their only weakness would be the relief pitchers. But that's just looking at it right now. They do have some solid relief pitching, but they don't have anybody who I feel like is very dominant. So that might be their only weakness. But if this team is just able to really put it together with the offensive power that they have, they should be one of the best teams in the league this year. Then finishing in third place in the NL West, I believe, is going to be the San Francisco Giants. They're just not, they didn't really do anything this offseason besides a few minor upgrades. As a matter of fact, you know, they lost Carlos Rodon, which pissed me off because him and Jock Peterson were pretty much the only good things about last season. And we lost Rodon to the Yankees, of course. So this year, I think it's just going to be a middle-of-the-road year for the Giants. I think our best players this year are going to be Logan Webb, the starting pitcher, then Camilo Duvall, the closer, and then Jock Peterson, of course. And then beyond them, I really think it's just pretty questionable. And I feel like their biggest issue is, are they going to be able to score any runs? Because, you know, I'm talking about the Dodgers and the Padres, who are going to be scoring runs. And while the Giants have solid starting pitching and a good bullpen, they, on the offensive side of things, got a lot of questions. So my hopes are not high for the Giants this year. Then finishing in fourth place, I have the Colorado Rockies. You look at their roster, and they're pretty much just a horrible ass team. There really isn't anybody to discuss. Chris Bryant, he's fallen off the face of the earth. He's just been an injury-prone guy over the years, so I'm not expecting much from the Rockies this year. And then rounding out the NL West, I have the Arizona Diamondbacks, because who the fuck is this team? Go look at their roster, and the only person I could look at on there and be like, oh, yeah, I know who they are, is Madison Bumgarner and Evan Longoria, who are both dudes who are completely past their prime. And the only reason why I know who they are is Bumgarner, one of my favorite baseball players of all time, because he basically single-handedly won the last World Series for the San Francisco Giants. And then, of course, Evan Longoria, he used to play for the San Francisco Giants, and then he played for the Rays before that, was very good when he played for the Rays, but the both of them are at the end of their careers. And so the Diamondbacks, I am not expecting a goddamn thing from this team at all. So now let's move over to the AL West. I feel like the Astros are going to yet again dominate their division. Really, their only thing that they lost this offseason was Justin Verlander. Now, that is a big deal because he has been Mr. Reliable for a while now, other than when he got injured a couple years ago. But, you know, he had a resurgence last year. He was their workhorse last year. But the Astros are still one of the top teams in the league. They still have Valdez. They still have Alvarez. They still have Jeremy Peña, who was coming off of one of the best rookie seasons of all time. Now, he's going to be just getting even better, or he should be getting better. So you got him. You got Altuve. You got Bregman. I mean, this team is still stacked, and they are the defending World Series champions, so they really don't have any weaknesses, and there really isn't anything bad to say about them. And the rest of their division is very, very suspect, so I got the Astros winning this division easily. The surprise team that I've got coming in second place, I feel like, is going to make some noise this year. They're definitely not a World Series champion in my opinion, but I feel like they're going to make the playoffs or at least be a playoff contention type team. And that's the Texas Rangers. I think they made a big move by hiring Bruce Bochy as their manager. But they also made a big move by signing Jacob DeGrom. So their starting pitching looks good. They're very young. They do have Corey Sager at shortstop, so I think he's a good veteran to have with DeGrom. But overall, I think the Rangers could make some noise. They're a much improved team. I feel like their only big weakness would be their bullpen. But other than that, I feel like they're going to be a good team. You know, I've got a lot of respect for Bruce Bochy. He won the San Francisco Giants 3 World Series. They were competitive his entire reign. And I feel like the Rangers are going to get the same exact thing from him. This is his first season as their manager. So I expect improvements. And then we'll see where they're at next year. But I feel like they're going to be a team that makes some noise this year. Then at number 3 in the AL West, I've got the Los Angeles Angels. For me, with the Angels, they have Mike Trout and they have Shohei Ohtani, two of the best players in the league. But beyond that, can anybody else on this team step it up? And that's the big question. And until they do, you can't really believe in the Angels. Last year, they were bit by the injury bug, especially with Mike Trout. He missed a lot of last season, so hopefully, if he's able to stay healthy this year, Ohtani stays healthy this year, hopefully, they can make some noise, but I don't really believe in the Angels, and that says a lot when you've got two of the best players in the league on your team, and you can't really even compete for a playoff spot, but we'll see. I don't really expect much from the Angels this year. Then in 4th place in the AL West, I have the Seattle Mariners. It's really just because they're the Mariners. What the fuck have they done? Yes, they played pretty well last season and ended the season on a nice and solid note. Julio Rodriguez, he really stepped it up, had a phenomenal year. I expect him to come into this season and get even better, but they're the Mariners. And when they have a good year, usually the following year is a pretty bad year, and I don't really expect them to have a good year this year. I don't think they're a good team, really. There's really nothing exciting about them other than Julio Rodriguez, so I'm not expecting much from the Seattle Mariners this year. And then rounding out the AL West, I have the Oakland A's, who at some point are going to become the Las Vegas A's. Obviously not this season, but it's going to happen. But this team is straight up pitiful. I mean, last offseason, they got rid of every one of their halfway decent players they could. Then they got rid of all the rest of their halfway decent players at the trade deadline. Then this offseason, they didn't bother trying to sign anybody. As a matter of fact, they lost even more of their halfway decent players in the offseason. So I expect the A's to be yet another team where if they have a pitcher who goes on a nice little winning streak or just starts to have a really good first half, they'll trade him away, or they'll have like another guy who's playing great defensively and scoring them a bunch of runs, and then at the trade deadline, they'll trade him away. Because I don't know what the fuck the Oakland A's are doing. I feel like they shouldn't even be a team anymore, because it's like they're just trying to run this team into the ground. They're like the baseball version of the Houston Texans, in my opinion. But I don't know. I feel like the Texans try even harder than them, and that fucking says a lot. But the Oakland A's are not trying at all. I would not be shocked if the Oakland A's are the worst team in the league this year, because when you look at the roster, you look at it, you go, who are you? Who's this person? What is this? Are you a real team? Is this a minor league team or what? Nah, like it's awful. So, my prediction for the Oakland A's is they will be the worst team in the league this season. So those are my predictions for the NL West and the AL West. And, we will discuss more predictions for baseball on Monday. And I hope you all enjoy March Madness. We'll see where everybody's brackets are at. And hopefully your bracket isn't completely busted on Monday. And I'm hoping mine isn't completely busted either. But as long as the Texas Longhorns keep rolling, that's all I give a shit about. So hook 'em horns, motherfucker, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.